Yeah. Speaking of the things we got into this weekend, yeah. Now, did you make any of the recommendations that I gave you?
Made all of them. Good. I did it Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday I took the day off. Okay, here's my question for you. You okay. said you had a new game plan. How did it go? You were telling us that you're going to do an early dinner on Friday so then you could catch the Giants and the Dodgers.
It didn't materialize. It fell apart. Well, like most normal people, I didn't want to go to dinner at 4 o'clock. So it kind of...
Why does he do that? I don't understand why you do that.
Do what?
Why do you exaggerate that far off?
What do you mean?
Unbelievable. Go ahead. Finish your point.
I was planning on doing it, okay. And my wife got home from work, and she got home around 4,
and like I said, hey, I'm not hungry. I just had lunch an hour and a half.
It was one of those, we should go. There's a lot going on tonight. I'd like to watch the Dodger game. There's some other things that we wanted to get to, and we're like, it's 4:15.
Yeah.
We can't go out to dinner right now, so we waited till about 6, and we still got to the restaurant. It was still empty.
Oh, so we did 6 yeah. o'clock.
So we went at 6, and I sent you guys the picture of my martini. You and Funches apparently were on your way to Vegas. You didn't respond. Only Emily had the common courtesy to respond.
This is what I don't need in a text chain.
What?
I don't need you 30 minutes after you send the text calling me out why I haven't responded yet. Can I have a second?
30 minutes.
I mean, I don't know about you, Funches, but for him to go at me on a Friday night for not responding
oh, he went at me
right
too.
When he texts.
Both of you guys.
Both of us, yeah.
He said, Sliwa must be sleeping, and
clock.
I don't know what he said about Funches.
I'm off the clock.
Oh, we're that guy. Okay. Yeah.
It's business only on this show. Business only on this show.
I should have had an out-of-office message coming back to you.
My phone goes to block.
I should have had an out-of-office message to you, man.
One.
Genius right there.
Out-of-office.
An
yeah,
out-of-office on a text?
I was
I'm
just
sorry.
Excited that the olives were the proper size. The
yeah,
martini,
you were excited
it was
about
the
that.
Right glass.
Okay, so
it was the right olives. It was good. We had a wonderful.
You
night.
Took a page out of my book on Friday. I took a page out of your book on Saturday. This is a little bit later of a dinner. Okay, what time was the dinner at? What time was my reservation? No, don't say yours. As in, like
well,
I
part
created
of the equation.
This. I'm just saying in general.
You had a 7:30 reservation.
8:15.
Okay, that's actually kind of late.
It's a late one.
Yeah,
and nothing like. Grabbing a full steak at 9 and then trying to go to bed at 10:30.
Oh, that was the one you sent me with the giant bone in the steak. That thing looked amazing.
That's the one right
that
there.
That looked really good.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I was impressed. How much did they overcook it for you?
You know what? Let me tell you exactly what I told them. I said, what do you recommend? And he said, medium rare or medium?
Mm-hmm.
I said, medium it is. And I'll tell you what. It's a damn good steak at medium.
Well, yeah, it wasn't overcooked. It's nice. Like the idea of a steak is to have it be juicy and flavorful.
It's like Jack Link's beef jerky. I'm like, oh, this is good. This
if you
is good.
Need if you need the teeth on your knife to really tear into it, then you've probably done it.
Okay, can I say one more thing? This is the final
you can
one.
Say as many things as you'd like. Al.
You know how you saw the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a ribeye.
Bone-in ribeye.
Beautiful. Right? So bone is there.
Yeah.
Are you doing any damage to the bone?
No. I got a little bit of a deal. I understand the bone is the flavor and all this stuff. The bone is kind of gross when you really start to work your way through
okay,
it.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with the fact that you're at a restaurant and there's other people around, or is it because the taste of what you're having?
I just don't want to gnaw on the bone. I just can't get there.
Gotta
home
be
or
honest.
Otherwise.
Funches, got to be honest.
Amateur.
Did you gnaw the bone?
There's a time I picked up that bone. There's nothing I could do, man.
Barbarian.
There's nothing I could do. I was ready to take my shirt off and just start walking around and just,
what?
I don't know.
What? I got a big bone-in ribeye.
First of all, the amount you pay for that steak, that's number one. The second thing, it's expensive. Just so damn good, the meat that's left on the bone that you can't get with a knife.
It looked right. You did a good job with that steak. When you get it right, I'm going to give you credit for getting it right.
No, you're not.
Yeah, sure.
No, you're not.
Why are you looking at me
like that?
I don't
believe that at all.
Travis Lee, it's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Darb in the OC writes, Trav, with today being Tuesday, but sort of Monday, will you be doing Ask Slee and when? So many changes, please advise. Yeah, I do feel like we're
it's
off
back
a day.
Tomorrow.
Well, it's if you know when you're holding a sneeze and you just don't feel quite right for the rest of the day, like you get one of those that goes and you don't get to release it. That's kind of what not doing Ask Slee
we'll
right out
fun.
Of the weekend is.
We'll be fine.
We? That includes me. Therefore, no, that's not how it's going to work. All right. So Peter King wrote a really good piece this weekend talking about the Rams. And one of the lead sentences, kind of the lead of the whole thing was, he talked about how Sean McVay is one of the smartest offensive brains in the NFL.
Okay.
Okay, which I agree with. He talked about how having Matthew Stafford here allows him to call anything on his play sheet, which I agree with, that it allows him to do things without having to worry about mistakes being made early in a game that's going to kind of eliminate some optionality for
him
later.
Can I interrupt you
game.
For a second?
Please.
Why is that article any different than every other article we've read since that trade?
Because this one came as closest to telling you the truth. This one came as close, and the truth is this, that no one wants to say it because it's rude. No one wants to say it because it's
but they've been saying it.
Not what they're saying is Jared Goff wasn't smart enough to figure out Sean McVay's offense. That's what they're saying. All of this code stuff, brightest offensive mind, can call anything on the play sheet, is code for Jared Goff wasn't smart enough to run the offense.
So indirectly, they've been saying it.
Whispered about, implied, suggested. Well, if Jared Goff can do this, that what they're saying is that Sean McVay was trying to fight a fight with one of his hands tied behind his back because his quarterback couldn't stop making the same mistake right out of the chute. That he's Sean McVay wants to do algebra, and he has to do basic addition and subtraction with Sean with Jared Goff every week. Hey, Jared, okay, 1 plus 1 equals 2, right? Cool, okay. Now we're going to solve for X. What's 1 plus 1 again? That's what we were going back to every single week.
You know what I can't wait for about this season? We were talking about this. What do you mostly – if you had a word to describe the upcoming Rams season – and I said curious. There's a curiosity because that's all I've been fed. And I'm not saying that this is wrong. I'm not saying that Jared Goff obviously wasn't the issue. I'm not. I think most people would say that they feel so much more optimistic with Matthew Stafford coming in, that a lot of the problem that the Rams had, you reached the plateau unless you change that quarterback. Somebody else came in and stopped. You know, you were saying this, I think last week, you were saying that one of the things Sean McVay does, I run this play to set up my next one. And then that one's going to set up the next one. Well, he kept having to go backwards because
I didn't set anything up because my quarterback threw it to the wrong team.
Okay.
He read the wrong guy. But he went the wrong way. The play didn't work for a variety, but it all comes back to the guy didn't have enough horsepower to do it, and not physical horsepower. That's the issue.
Maybe this is what it comes down to. It comes down to the fact that that trade went down basically right as the end. I think it was in February that trade went down. And you've had this much time to talk about how great Stafford's going to be, how much Jared Goff was a problem. And here we are. We have three preseason games. We got to see nothing, right? You always said they're not going to show their cards. And then now we're finally in the first week of September, and we got games coming up this weekend. When I say the word to describe the Rams is you're curious, there's curiosity, I'm just so sick of talking about that same subject. I want to see it.
It's a weird mix of emotions. There's curiosity for sure. There's a little bit of apprehension. There's a little bit of uncertainty. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of anticipation. But look, they've painted themselves into a really interesting spot. And I'm not even talking about draft picks and money. That's obvious.
You're talking about the perception?
I'm talking about if Matt Stafford comes out and is somewhere between okay to not okay, now what? I thought the problem was
because you spent the whole time pointing the finger there.
I thought Jared Goff's too dumb to run the offense. Jared Goff didn't have this, and Matt Stafford, now he's got the full capabilities. He's got his full play. Okay, but what if it doesn't? Now what? Now whose fault is it?
And you're not coming off, you know, 3-4 seasons of, well, we haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, and we've had no success. You've actually had some tremendous success.
They're exactly like the Dodgers and Lakers with one exception, and that is that they don't have a championship in their very near history, right? They got close. They were down, 3 points in the fourth quarter going up against the Patriots a couple of years ago. They were really close, but the rest of it is the same. The Rams could go, 17 games? Let's say they go 14-3, 13-4, something really, really impressive. It's going to be met with
Sounds good. What are you doing?
Yeah, really nice. Season. Good job, guys. Way to win the division, but okay, it starts right now. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have put together a great season by any measure. They're going to win over 100 games, more than likely, which is tremendous. And it's going to be, when do the playoffs start? Better not lose that first one. Better not lose to the Giants in the division round. You know, you better get back to the World
Series. Period. Failed season.
Same thing with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, the whole thing, regular season doesn't matter. Get healthy. The Rams are kind of in a similar spot. That the regular season will kind of get a feel for what you're talking about, Al. But what they do in the regular season isn't nearly as important as what they need to do. And by the way, division round last year, that's not nothing. That's a pretty deep run in the postseason. There's two steps left. Conference championship, Super Bowl. That's a pretty never mind the bar, right? Oh, you got to clear the bar. It's the floor. The floor is the NFC Championship. That's as bad as you can do where people are going to look at it. And the pressure on the quarterback, the pressure on the head coach, it's real, man.
That's why I say, and I'm not, you know, sitting here saying that, oh, my gosh, another article kind of, I don't want to say saying the same thing, but we've been fed a lot of that all offseason, and it's nobody's fault. It's because you've had, like we said, the trade happened in February. Well, what else are you going to talk about? I mean, this is the story of the offseason. It's obviously the story for the Rams. And now, you know, fortunately, we're going to get that opportunity Sunday night, see the first game. But it's going to take 5, 6, 7 weeks to really kind of understand, all right, how is that trade panning out?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Much like we saw UCLA beat LSU, right? There's different strategies.
It
wasn't totally unprecedented.
Did not call it, by the way.
Very few people did. But it was also one of these deals where you look at it, you say, okay, UCLA, can they beat them? Yeah, they can. They run the ball really well. They got a pretty good defense. Is LSU a little overrated because they're SEC? Yeah. Keep in mind, LSU was 500 last year. They were not very good. Ed Orgeron is that guy that has gotten bounced from other places because once the, what's the word, uniqueness of his situation, I'm out, you know, nice blue shirt. Once you hear all of that kind of stuff, once you, and he had another one. This was his sissy blue shirt from the weekend.
Hey, bring your ass on. Bring your ass on, you little sissy blue shirt.
Okay, like it's great theater. But Nick Saban's not getting into it with some guy on the sidelines.
Well, could I say this? That the theater you're talking about, before that game started, that's going around on Twitter, right? Everybody has seen that. Yeah. And the only thing I'm saying to myself, Trap, I don't know what you thought, but I thought UCLA's going to get ran. That's what I thought. When the head
coach...
Did they
get blown out?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just kind of thinking in my head, first of all, it's LSU, right? It's an SEC team, like you're saying. But here you got Ed Orgeron working his way into the Rose Bowl. And... you know, getting chippy with a fan. And I love just kind of play it one more time, Funches. And I know people have heard it, but.
I got you.
Hey, bring your ass on. Bring your ass on, you little sissy blue shirt.
That's your head coach. I would think the whole locker room's fired up, but obviously it worked out the other way.
Here's the deal. When it's Roll Tide, what? Bleep you. That's fun because you just killed Alabama.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But
our
you're
coach
playing
is
UCLA.
Fired up. You're having
you're not
a
playing
good time.
Alabama.
You're feeling it, right? UCLA is UCLA.
You know what UCLA is going to do in the next 3 weeks? Lose to a team they're not supposed
they're
to lose
to. They're going
to
lose to Fresno State on Saturday. It's the most UCLA thing that they could
do. It's not
ever
even a UCLA
history.
Thing. It's a Pac-12 thing. Every time they get a good win, that's followed by two bad losses.
Yes, but UCLA holds the copyright on that. UCLA is the team.
They're sending out a cease and desist if anybody else does it.
Hey, Stanford, whoa. You can't lose
that's
to.
That's our move.
You can't lose to
that's
Kansas
our
State.
Move.
That's our thing. Washington, losing to Missouri or Montana, I should say. That's not your deal. That's what we do. This is UCLA gets a nice win at the beginning of the season. Then they get a really good win, LSU. And it's like, here we go. Chip Kelly turned the corner and lost to Fresno State. you can feel it coming.
You were on Friday you were spending time playing a Clay Helton clip.
Yeah.
And then you were spending time playing at Orgeron. So you were definitely going out of your way to talk about how much you love that chippiness from Ed O. And I just say that because I'm telling you, man, coming into Saturday when I heard that, and obviously it falls flat on his face on this one, I'm with you. I want my head coach talking like that before a game.
It's time for our Stat Hero Weekend Hero. So we're getting ready, right?
Yeah.
Our fantasy football against each other is coming up. We're going to use Stat Hero. We're going to
measure this is how it's going to work.
Every single week.
Every single week, Travis and I will go heads up against each other. And then by Monday, I'll talk about how I won. Everybody here,
we'll
I mean, Funches, Emily, they all know, like, I'm the fantasy guy, right? I'm the fantasy guy. By the way, I have a draft later tonight. Let's just say I got some work to do.
Don't call Funches. He's off the clock.
This is a problem.
They're actually in the same draft. We're in the same draft, Zubo.
That's right.
Funches. Emily, did you get invited to the draft?
Well, we're not
neither
the commissioners.
Did I.
We're not the commissioners.
Yeah, we're not.
That's the only
seems piggybacking off the
seems
sales side
awfully
over here.
Selective.
Yeah. That's the only term that I could use is we're not the commissioners. I think Bronny's still on it. Like it's an old one. You got some different people
that's fine.
On there.
You guys go have your little fantasy football league over there. I'll
you
play
don't want to play anyway.
Me and Travis will have our own.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen,
the official fantasy partner of Travis and Emily, Stat Hero.
You're not invited to the other one. All right, Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play.
All right, coming up at 11:30. That's going to take me a little bit of time to get used to, Slee. We got another fact or cap. Plus, the Lakers added an old guy. The Nets added an old guy.
Just going back and forth here between the Nets and the Lakers.
Which old guy falls asleep first? That's next. Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did you see the
didn't see it.
Picture that the station tweeted out of you in the Rams helmet today?
I did see that.
It's my new favorite picture.
You know, the first thing I thought of right when I saw that is athlete. That's what went through my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I just said to myself immediately, by the way, can I say this?
Uh-huh.
How great was it when we were out there and you had the helmet on for way too long?
Oh, I got a little sweaty.
No, not even the too sweaty. Then they had you take it off, and they're like, hey, let's continue doing videos. And there were just marks all over your head. Like, we just had to wait for, like, what do we do? Do we tell the
rampage.
People running SoFi, hey, we need another half hour out here. Don't have Aaron Donald come out or do anything that he needs to do.
So the list of similarities between myself and Peyton Manning is exactly one thing long. Okay. We both have giant foreheads. Mm-hmm. And I had that red square in the middle of my forehead, just like Peyton Manning does, and I didn't look good. And I accept the fact that I didn't look good. And one last thought on this picture. It's you in your football helmet. I'm standing next to you laughing and pointing,
yeah.
Which is my favorite part of the
picture.
Yeah,
no, that's what a partner.
But here's the part that really makes me a little uncomfortable.
What do you got?
Why is my head bigger than yours and you're wearing a football helmet? That's not a great look for me. Like, I know that the eyes will be drawn to you in the helmet, but once you really start to analyze this, my head is bigger than a football helmet. That's a problem.
I just did I hit the notifications, it was off my feed, and then I just kept moving. I didn't analyze it.
Get that deep into it. All right, let's try a quick phone call here. Oh, let's try Dave in Torrance on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Dave, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Travis, I believe you're wrong about Jared Goff and his being stupid.
Okay.
He's got more touchdowns and less interceptions than the sainted Kurt Warner in the same amount of time with the team. And if anybody who has got a little bit dumb, it would be the coach and the general manager who gave him that big old contract, don't you think?
Well, that's a different conversation. Yes, I think that, and we'll get to that. Here's what I'm getting at. Let me be clear. I'm not saying Jared Goff is dumb. I'm saying that the reasons that are being put out there are making it sound like Jared Goff is dumb. Jared Goff did not do himself any favors where his first kind of public appearance here in L.A., speaking of Hard Knocks, Funch, when the Rams were back in L.A. that first season, after they made him the number one pick, he goes up in the blimp and he's like, the sun rises in the east, like every day? It's a bad look. It was a bad, and I get it, but it was one of those.
Only on the weekends.
I thought this guy went to Cal. Like, I thought he's pretty mm-hmm. bright. And I'm not saying Jared Goff is stupid. That's not the point. The point is you either can get an offense or you don't. And if you don't get it, the coach is kind of hamstrung in what you can do.
And that position is you can't. I'm just going to use this as an example. The quarterback position, it's like the point guard not knowing, right. Okay, I'm having difficulty running plays.
Times a thousand. Because mm-hmm. in basketball, you can kind of freewheel it, get it to LeBron, everything's going to work. In football, if all 11 guys don't know what's going on, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's not my opinion that Jared Goff didn't understand the offense. I've read everything everybody has written, and you can't get a paragraph into a story about Matt Stafford where the following isn't said about him. Well, it's going to allow Sean McVay to use every tool in his mm-hmm. toolbox. That's saying that he didn't before. Why not before? Because the quarterback was incapable of doing it. It's not my opinion. It's what everything is being said about this. As far as your point about giving up the money, yeah, that went really poorly. You don't give a guy $100 million and trade him along with two first-round draft picks 5 minutes after the fact, which they did. But I will say this. I love that they covered it up. You know, and that covered it up is the wrong word. They didn't say, well, we've already spent this money. We got to live with it. They said, we spent this money. It was bad money.
We made a mistake. Let's move on.
We got to fix it.
Let's move on.
We got to move on. So I give them credit for that.
Yeah, listen, we'll kind of get through this. And this is the first week we're going to actually have NFL football. So let's see how some of it pans out. Just as much, I'll tell you this, Trav, if it doesn't pan out, if it doesn't work out, if, you know, the NFC West continues to be an incredible challenge and Arizona takes a step in the right direction and San Francisco has a good year and Seahawks are the Seahawks and it just, it's not the season for the Rams. I don't believe that that's going to happen, but let's just say that it can happen in the NFL. There's going to be a lot more question marks that will start getting pointed at the front office, at Sean McVay, at why are you making these decisions. But right now, it's a clear path to say, nah, it was that other quarterback that we had.
Who else is over 35 years old that the Lakers can sign? It seems like that's kind of
you and me.
Their jam. DeAndre Jordan.
It's not just them.
No, it's not just them, but they seem to have really gone all in on that. DeAndre Jordan is expected to join the team after the buyout with the Pistons is done. He can make his way to L.A. LaMarcus Aldridge is going back to Brooklyn. Paul Millsap is going to go.
Yep.
Paul Millsap and Dwight Howard and all Trevor Ariza and Carmelo Anthony and all of these guys that have been around the block a few times.
You know why this is okay for both teams? You know why it's okay for both teams? They got their stars, right? I mean, it's one thing if you're a team that's depending on Carmelo Anthony being your second best player. Let me just actually say this, because last week Funches and I were doing Lakers talk, and it was when the rumors were coming out about DeAndre Jordan. I was actually kind of making a case that I'd rather actually prefer Marc Gasol over DeAndre. Mm-hmm. And I was a little surprised that there were a lot of Laker fans that felt kind of the same way. But that's not really the conversation. The conversation is, you know, here are the Lakers. They're really taking a page from that championship that they had a couple years ago, because DeAndre is the closest thing to JaVale McGee that you're going to have from that purpose. Dwight, you already brought back. Obviously, Rondo is there. It's kind of the piece here. I will say, between the Lakers and the Nets, you know, you were throwing this question out there. Who's less likely to make the finals, between the Nets or the Lakers? When you say it's an arms race between these two teams, no question about it, it is. I mean, I don't know about you. It's the best storyline in the NBA. The first preseason game is Lakers and Nets. Like, that never happens. You play an Eastern Conference team, it's usually the Suns, the Warriors, the Kings. You just kind of stay all, right. Everybody just stays local. So I say that because you got these two squads that are both have the pressure of, you either won a championship or was a complete failure. What path is easier? You think the East or the West?
I think they're about the same. I think the West is probably a little deeper. There's probably a few more sharks in the tank there. But what's funny, we can talk about DeAndre Jordan. You can talk about LaMarcus Aldridge and all of these older players that are – this entire thing turns on two guys, one on each team. Like you said, they got the stars on both teams, right? You got your three, we've got our three. Well, one of Brooklyn's stars, Kyrie Irving, is one of those, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. If the best version of Kyrie shows up, he might be a top five player in the league. He's unstoppable. He's unbelievable. The player for the Lakers, Russell Westbrook. It's more about fit than it is attitude or anything like that. It's about, will those three pieces fit well together, leading them to play? And I know you like it. Everybody knows that I don't. But until we see it, we just don't know. Yep. We're going to have to wait to find out. It comes down to those two guys, because Kyrie could just do Kyrie things and torpedo that team like he did in Boston, like he did in Cleveland. He is a really unpredictable guy, and that's why I think that they're more likely to miss than the Lakers. Because if Russell Westbrook doesn't fit, right, let's just play out my scenario. He doesn't fit great. Okay. Well, do you have to use him a ton? No, you don't have to. It'd be weird if you didn't play him a lot, but you could find a way to use him without those other two guys. If Kyrie's not there for Brooklyn, they're still really good, but he's arguably the number one A piece.
You know what's funny? I actually think you take the Brooklyn Nets can still 100% make it to the NBA Finals if KD and James Harden are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers can make it to the NBA Finals if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are healthy. I feel like those two, it's just a matchup against each other. That's why, you know, the Lakers went out and obviously got Russell Westbrook. And for the Brooklyn Nets, it's about just kind of keeping all those pieces together. There's really just one team in the Western Conference. I'll just throw this out there. It's really the Golden State Warriors. That's the only team that I look at in the West. if they do something, they got that championship experience. That's the only team, Trav, that I really, really think could probably give the Lakers a run. These other teams, I don't know. They just don't do anything for me.
All right, give us our answer to that, 877-710-3776. Who's less likely to miss? All right, here it is, Slee. Coming up at 1145, I'm going to tell you something that changed your life, changed my life, and everybody that's listening to us. And this is not a euphemism. It literally changed your life 42 years ago today.
Okay.
I'll tell you what that is. Plus, coming up next, fact or cap. Here you go. Scherzer, Dodger next year or not. Fact or cap. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Hey, do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle, and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even if you're just looking to trade in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter the promo code RADIO to get a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You look good in that helmet.
Athletes, bro. It's what athletes do.
I don't even know if screensaver still exists, but I'm turning that into mine. I don't know if we have those on our computers anymore, but your head.
You
and
should.
I'm cropping me out. It's just going to be your face 100%. Inside the Rams helmet.
Instantly, you look at that, and you just kind of think to yourself, easily could have played. Could have been a kicker.
Played
I mean,
what?
That the kicker thing is no question.
Finish that sentence.
That's number one. The second thing is, if that's not the prototypical cornerback in the league, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you and Jalen Ramsey, you know, just tomato, tomato. It's really, really the same guy. Fact or cap, Emily?
Up first.
You should see me backpedal. When I backpedal.
Change of direction, loose hips.
Okay, up first, Max Scherzer will be a Dodger after this season. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Fact, because I want it to be. It needs to be a fact. The Dodgers have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to pitching prospects and current high-level major leaguers, but you've seen this guy over the last month and change. There are not too many things like him in Major League Baseball. He is extraordinary. The Dodgers, have the money, and two, have shown a willingness to spend that money. So Max Scherzer will be here beyond the season.
Okay, let's say this. I'm gonna go cap, but let me paint a picture for you, Trav.
Okay.
Let's say they win a World Series. Max Scherzer is obviously a big part of it.
Yep.
The thing with the Dodgers, they're also so incredibly responsible. Can't you see another team coming out? How old is he now, 37?
Sounds right. I'm going to double check while you talk.
Can't you see another team coming in and just paying this dude for the next, let's say, 3-4 years, something along those lines, whatever the case is, and the Dodgers are just responsible enough to say, hey, we just got one. Scherzer was a big part of it. That trade deadline, there was a reason why we did it. It paid off. Let him go get paid somewhere else. We're going to continue to make smart moves.
He did just turn 37 a little bit more than a month ago, but Trevor Bauer is not going to be on this team next year.
Sure.
So there's an opening, and he is the ultimate guy to fill that. I hope you're wrong. I hope that I'm right.
You might hope I'm right too, because I'm talking about them winning a World Series.
Yeah, they don't strike me as, okay, we won one, let's break it down, let's start over again. It's not reload and go again.
It's just think about, you know, the position there. What if Scherzer gets a four-year deal somewhere else?
It's not a risky proposition to sign him. The guy keeps himself in impeccable shape. Mm-hmm. He competes like crazy.
He's 37. He's a great
guy. I get it, but does he look 37?
No, he doesn't.
I'm not saying give him a 10-year deal.
No,
but if he wants a couple more years at top dollar.
To answer your question, no, he does not look 37.
He looks pretty damn good.
Up next. You still bring a paper ticket with you when you go to sporting events. Alan, is this fact or cap?
What do you think it is? I'm going to ask you first.
Emily, you asked Alan. I expect Alan to answer.
It's fact.
You
do. Sporting of... Okay, let me use this last trip I was on. I was printing everything. Like, I was printing everything. I was printing the, you know, the vaccination. I was printing... Well, the vaccination, you have your vaccination card. But you're printing, you got to show a negative test. Print. Your ticket, print. Like anything that was going on, I was hitting print. I'm like, why am
Sir,
I doing this?
Why do you have a binder at metal detector? Please put your three ring binder in the bin.
There
and
was
send
a point,
it through the X-ray machine.
Where my girlfriend was like, listen, everything's on my email. Just stop. You know, like just let me show them and then we'll just move on. I'm like, that's a really good service. This whole downloading stuff, that's just smart.
Whoever came up with that, they're on to something. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the question here. You still bring it? No, that's cap. I have not brought a paper ticket in a long time. I will quadruple check my phone for that digital ticket a million times before I go, but no, I don't need a bunch of stuff. I like a nice clean pocket sleeve. I don't need a lot of things in there.
I have a file cabinet in my back pocket.
Airline tickets is a little different. Like, I still get to the airport, and I'll print out the little boarding pass. That makes me weird.
Oh, yeah, no, I do that.
That's different.
The time.
But sporting events, no, I'll go digital.
You got to make sure that phone is also fully charged. So you
that's
don't have
to, a good point,
you don't lose
too.
That. All right, up next. UCLA has a better chance of winning the Pac-12 than USC. Travis, is this fact or cap?
That's cap because I've watched UCLA football for decades, and this is what they do. They have pretty good players. They will beat somebody that has you go, oh, okay, cool. Look at UCLA. Nope, they lost. This is what they do. So they're going to lose to Fresno State on Saturday. If they follow their plan, which they're geniuses at, they'll lose to Fresno State. Then they'll stack together three or four more good wins.
Yeah.
They'll be like 6-1. You're like, hey, maybe Fresno State's a bad day. Here they go. And then they'll lose again. You just lost to Arizona. That's what they do.
Okay.
So no, USC has a better chance. That's
all right.
Cap.
So it is cap. But it's not because I have all this confidence in USC. It's because of the things that you just mentioned as well. What you described, we talked about this earlier. This is the Pac-12 in a nutshell, where you are rooting. If you're USC, I don't care. You wanted UCLA to beat LSU because you just want that opportunity down the road. You get a chance to beat UCLA. It's strength of schedule. That's such a big part of college football. That's what the Pac-12 depends on. They don't depend on schools just winning outright. You're hoping and praying that the strength of schedule, because every single team at some point, it seems like, in the Pac-12 has at least one of those choke job losses that cost them the season.
It should be on the crest. Instead of the mountains and the ocean, there should be like in like
the Pac-12.
The Pac-12.
We lose when it counts.
Devastating losses weekly. That should be, like, instead of the Conference of Champions, devastating losses weekly.
We are guaranteed to disappoint you, the Pac-12.
You think we've got it figured out? We don't.
Okay. Cody Bellinger will make a positive impact on the playoffs. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I'm going to go fact. But I'm going to...
confident.
I'm going to change the question a little bit.
That's not the game.
Just give me a second. Let me explain. He's going to have a positive moment. He'll have one of those moments where he impacted a game one way or the other. Maybe it was on the defensive side. Maybe it's his bat, which right now him and I look exactly the same inside a batter's box. I think he's going to have a positive moment. Now, will he positively influence throughout the playoffs? That part I don't think anybody believes is going to happen, but he might have a moment.
So I like that the question was, do you like chocolate or vanilla ice cream? Let me tell you about tacos.
Let me change it real quick.
Let me tell you about tacos and where we're going with this. I think it's fact. I think he's going to make a play with his glove. I think he's going to get out there. I think he's going to get an opportunity to do some things. And if it sounds like I'm lying to myself in an effort to get my head in a better space, that's exactly what's happening, because positive impact with his bat feels like it would be nothing more than blind ass luck at this point. that if the bat happens to hit his ball, maybe, or the other way around, you know what I mean? It just, he's lost. It's not a slump. They put it on Sunday Night Baseball. You guys probably saw it. His MVP season and then the two seasons since. It's like two different people. It's like there's no way the same guy put up those numbers. He's lost. The good news is defense doesn't go on a slump, and that dude can play
the Pac-12. Nowhere near the college football playoff.
Since 2014. One more, Emily.
One more, and this one's near and dear to my heart. Rushing the field after a win is always allowed. Travis, is this fact or cap?
That's cap, because always is the part that makes it cap. No, if you're the favorite team, you don't rush the field. If you're a team that has aspirations to go be something beyond just a we can ruin it for somebody else, Pac-12, then it's a fact. Yeah. I've done it. When I was a freshman at UC Santa Barbara, UNLV was the number one ranked college basketball team in America. Number one. Mm-hmm. Okay, not number 10 or 14 or 22. Number one. And we beat them. The Gauchos beat UNLV. It's the last game they lost before they went to win the national championship.
Wow.
They didn't lose again the rest of the way.
Wow.
That was when they smashed Duke in the championship.
You were a freshman?
Right? I was a freshman. And 18 by the time basketball season rolled around. 18-year-old Travis Rogers was out in the middle of the floor at the Thunderdome going wild, and I loved it.
All right, it's fact. Let me tell you why it's fact anytime. I want to see rushing. I want to see game 14 this season, Lakers-Suns. I just want to see a madhouse. I want to see everybody breaking towards center court, raising up DeAndre Jordan because he got just a key rebound. No, there's definitely rules to this. I'm with you on that, and I've done it. Funches, you ever rushed?
Never done it.
Okay.
It's fun.
No, it's amazing. Like, there's something to it. I remember doing it at San Diego State. I forget what the game was, what the they probably beat New Mexico
big
State.
Big win over
Wyoming.
Yeah,
it's probably New Mexico State, okay? But there's a feel to it that's unbelievable.
Air Force had a
good team that year. Can I watch out for Nevada. Can I just say this, Trav? Can I just say, I don't like when they're trying to stop students from rushing. They're going to rush. Like, make it easier. You know what I hate seeing?
Don't make it harder.
I hate seeing on ESPN where they're like jumping down a story and a half to get to, you know, to get to the field. Just kind of open it up a little bit for them.
Look, let's make some exceptions. I'm all for it. But certain situations, absolutely. All right, coming up at 11:55. You worried about the Dodgers yet? I'll tell you why you should not be, Al. Mm-hmm. I see the sweat running down your face. I'm a little worried about
you. Can't
you
be. You have the air conditioning on here at 58.
Well, look at me. And I got shorts on and a t-shirt. And it's at 58, and I still would like to be a little cooler in here. So we'll get into that at 11:55. But coming up next, something that changed your life, my life, and everybody else that's listening to us. That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Travis Slee is brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Did you eat a lot this weekend other than your gnawing on the bone-in ribeye that you had on
Trying
Friday?
To go no carbs right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Trying to lean out for the fall?
You saw me in the football helmet.
You look good.
You know what it is? I went through a streak of just eating everything. When you go on vacation, too.
Yeah.
You know,
is it the eating or is it the drinking for you on vacation?
No, eating.
Is it the eating?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's both.
Not like a...
answer is both.
Okay, so if you're picking between the two, if somebody says, hey, you got to eat or you got to drink, which one are you doing?
I'll
I'm eating, too.
Yeah. but I'm going to try to do both. We're not just going to let one thing go by the board. I do like the idea of what you had out there over the weekend. That send us your stuff. I got some really good stuff. Yeah. People made a couple of the recommendations I have, so I'm fired up.
On Friday, you should do something about recommendations on the grill.
I've got something already ready to go. I made something that was so
good. We'll start it in like a month and a half, two
on
months.
On Saturday night.
We got this Friday's lined so up good. With too much stuff, so we're not going to have time this Friday.
So 1979, what were you up to?
79, uh-huh. I just finished my bachelor's at Wisconsin. Yeah, I just finished. I was
right,
a badger.
So you're
I had
just
a history major.
Your undergrad,
you said 79, right?
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were probably not with us yet, right?
Was not.
Okay.
82.
And so, Funchess, were you alive in 1979?
No.
No? Emily, I know the answer for you is no. She's the baby mm-hmm. of the group. She's the youngest
And you
one
were 31?
I was almost. My birthday hadn't quite happened yet. I was 8, okay? On this day, in 1979, 42 years ago, was the first ever Sports Center. Think about it. And I know that people have their opinions on it. Some people still love it. My hand's in the air. Some people think that it's past its prime, whatever. They miss the days of Dan and Keith. And say, I get it. That was fun, too. Yeah. But it's ubiquitous. It's on all the time. It's almost impossible to remember a time when SportsCenter didn't exist, when ESPN didn't exist. If you follow sports, and I know this sounds incredibly self-serving because we're members of the ESPN family, but think about what sports felt like prior to ESPN. You'd wait for a game on a Saturday occasionally.
Here's the thing. I don't know what it feels like. I don't. And I think many, many people don't, right? So nobody knows a life without ESPN.
I remember going over to my grandmother's who had cable. We did not have cable. We mm-hmm. would go over there, and I would see SportsCenter in like the late 70s, early 80s. Like, wait, this is on every day? How do I get this? This is amazing. And now it's on every day. Now you can't turn – if you like sports, you can't consume it without ESPN because they have every property there. As you like tennis, ESPN. You like car racing, ESPN. Never mind basketball, football, baseball. Hockey's back. Everything that you could want is here. To think that there was a time pre-SportsCenter, every sports fan watches SportsCenter.
All right, let me tie this back in with your favorite team. Okay, so for me – Lakers basketball, obviously, that's mm-hmm. my squad. So growing up as a kid, there was something about when your team won, the first thing you were going to go do, I'm going to go watch SportsCenter.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go see those highlights. I'm going to enjoy my team winning. And then when your squad lost, what'd you do? I want nothing to do with SportsCenter. I don't want to see what else happened in the NBA. I don't care what happened in the NFL. That's kind of what SportsCenter was. Now, listen, the days have changed. Obviously, things are different.
For sure.
But the reason why I say things have changed, all I mean is, okay, MLB has MLB Network, NFL Network, NBA TV. You have different things now, platforms, whatever the case is. But I tell you, there was a time, and I think everybody has had this from a sports perspective, SportsCenter dominated whatever after a game.
After the game, yeah, but think about it like this, because I think it still does. If there was breaking news, Tom Brady blank.
Yep.
What are you turning on?
AOL.
Waiting for the paper the next morning? Can't wait to see what's in
Don't
the paper.
Don't say anything. Don't you say anything about what happened. I'm waiting until the morning.
God, when is that paper going to get here? Do they still have the evening edition? But no, you flip on SportsCenter. You flip on ESPN. Yeah. I want to see what happened. What's going on? The clip that Funch just played there a minute ago. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know exactly what it is.
I wonder, this probably started on the TV or on the news front, but the breaking news ticker.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it started on news. I don't know, but I will say that there's a time, and it's evolved. Now the breaking news is really Woj tweeting or Shams tweeting or something like that, uh-huh. right? Like that's a breaking news. But then
what do you do after you see the breaking? You go to TV.
Mm-hmm.
At least I do.
But I would, you know, you would kind of, when it, breaking news came, and let's say it was free agency or something, you were waiting on SportsCenter.
Oh,
you were looking at the ESPN ticker and just waiting to see what happens.
You guys are all too young, but I'm going to throw this out there to old school Laker fans out there right now, okay, if you remember this. On TV, before everybody had cable, before everybody had satellite, you could get this box that would attach to your TV that was called On TV. And one of it, it was like they'd have a movie every once in a while.
It was illegal and only sold in the black market.
It wasn't illegal. It was legal, but they had home Laker games on TV. And getting to see the Forum with the yellow floor,
amazing,
the Great Western in L.A.? You kidding me? Because the only time you had to wait for the playoffs.
Did they show it live or in tape delay?
No, it was live. And you had to wait for the playoffs to come around, or maybe once in a while you'd get a game.
And this is how you used to watch it?
Well, I didn't have it, but some of my friends would have it. You'd go
there. And this
is
before they moved from Minneapolis.
George Mikan was still in the center. He was just tearing it up there. They only had 9,000 Lakes in
Minnesota. Bring up Mikan's box score.
I'm surprised you don't know it.
His stats.
Off the top of your head. All right. Are you worried about the Dodgers, Slee? You shouldn't be. Deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN.